sip. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
Hey, it's the Brad and Brit cast. It's our first one on a morning when, did you know it was below freezing? I can't believe it's only November and it's cold out. I can't believe it. Can you believe it?
Some of us had to be out in the near freezing very, very early this morning. Well, to and from the car. I wasn't exactly, you know, coal mining.
Well, Britt, your boy went down today. your boy Biden, he got smacked down by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's out there in real America. The Eighth Circuit is Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska. Those are real places. Those are real places people. With real people. And they smack down the student loan scam that he's trying to pull on the taxpayers.
Oh, God bless him.
So it's stopped right now.
Can we start
keep paying and enjoy it.
Can we start the, geez, if they would have come out with this decision before Election Day, then the Republicans would have done a lot better?
Blah, 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 blah. No, because it was already, it already been fucked with. It was already on hold. All right, let's start. Did you look at the John Voight video up on Mediaite?
I've seen it. I saw it. Like, I was not well this weekend, and I was looking at just a lot of shit.
Was it because you saw this or before you saw?
No. It was prior to this, although it didn't help as it turns out. No, I saw his bullshit.
Okay. All right, so you know what's coming here. This is where he shockingly endorses Joe Biden again for president. He's a well-known conservative, but listen to this support for Biden. Don't kill the bit. Don't kill the bit.
I shan't.
Okay. God damn it. Wait a minute. I just killed the bit.
Yeah, you kind of did.
By accusing you of killing the bit that you hadn't even killed yet.
God damn it. All Rewind. Right. Let's start over.
New light will emerge. We must all see this truth and allow justice to take place now. You see, the only way we can win these elections is to see the lies, deceit, and corruption from the left, the media, and the unknowns.
It's not Biden.
We know who they are.
Not a fan of Biden.
Let us all come together and to vote for true justice for all. Yeah. Let us pray that the one president who understood truths and had the best interest of the American people, the American dream, President Donald Trump will return to the presidency.
Wow.
He and only he can stop this swamp, this deceit and injustice. My fellow Americans, wake up. Wake up from this bad dream and bring back life, justice, truth in the only land that's meant for dreams of goodness, the land of the free, America, the greatest land, the greatest soil for men.
How many times has he given a speech like as a coach in a movie? Like, was he Varsity Blues?
That was him.
Yeah, but he's done that role a couple different times. That's not
in a couple of different ways. I mean, what it bums me out because of all the right wing assholes. He's like to me one of the more talented ones. You know, like Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent is a mid rock and roll guy. You know, but Voight and like Tim Allen. I can give or take, whatever.
No, I mean, Voight, we can separate the talent he has as an actor with the fact that he's completely nuts. You can be nuts and be a good actor. A lot of them are.
And Brad didn't play the whole thing, which was, again, thank you. But there's a real religious tint to it. It's just, again, he and Kanye need to switch medications or something. I'm not sure. Mm. There's also like a thing with him. This also happened during the Gulf War, back in the early 2000s, about like, we need to pile these troops in there because it says in the Bible, like, the war to end all wars, to bring on Armageddon, is going to happen in the Middle East, and we need to do that. And they're like, for some reason or other, the right wingers and the conservatives and the evangelicals are like, they really lean into it. Like, if it's the yoke on the plane, they're just like pushing that thing forward, just trying to nail it. We got to bring Jesus back. We got to make sure that the Armageddon's coming and the premillennial shit, the left behind shit, all that shit's got to happen now. Please, please.
Right. Well, fortunately, we still have the remnants of a secular government in place. It hasn't quite taken over. I mean, but the reason that I played that here up at the top is, you know, victories in politics are usually very short-lived, or is it short-lived? I can never figure out whether, yeah. I mean, which is, they don't last that long. And here we are 6 days after the actual election day, with races still to be decided in the House of Representatives that appear to be leaning just over the line for Republicans, where they're going to get, I don't know, a 3, 4, 5, 6 vote margin, maybe at the most, but they're winning just enough mm-hmm. according to all the projections. So we'll just assume that is going to happen. So whatever excellence was displayed by the people of Nevada to give the Senate control to the Democrats to allow them to keep it, with the idea that if the people of Georgia wake up, and I have a feeling that they will, because what is the incentive now to support Herschel Walker? I believe that what happened in Nevada with the Democrats now, you know, in a can't lose position controlling the Senate, Chuck Schumer still the still a man, and Mitch McConnell still bitter, that anyone who was supporting Herschel Walker under the guise of, I know he's an idiot, I know he's a moron, I know he's unfit, I know he knows nothing, I know he held a gun to his wife's head, I know he's paid for at least 2 abortions, but I'm voting for Herschel Walker because I want Republican control of the Senate. That's now gone, okay? Because you can vote for Herschel Walker now, and you're not going to get Republican control of the Senate. So you can now sit home. You do yeah. not have to vote for right. Herschel Walker anymore. And based on that, let the record show that Reverend Warnock will not just win, he will win by Georgia standards big, which means by more than 3 points. It'll be a big victory, because they have no reason to vote for him. The bad candidate theory now plays itself out in kind of a pure laboratory there.
Well, so plus you take the libertarians out of the picture too. It's a one-on-one race, unlike the yeah. on election day. So
you're right. What did that guy get, like 1.5 points?
Yeah, it was just enough for those people to be annoying as fuck. I mean, it's as usual. It's right. just absolute shit.
Right. So there's just nothing for the people who are pretending that Herschel Walker was anything but just a good running back for Georgia and a hero in, was it the 1980 game against Notre Dame?
The Sugar Bowl. Yeah. Yeah.
You can go home now. You can stay home. The adults will continue to be in charge in Georgia, and Georgia will continue to have 2 Democratic senators, as opposed to North Carolina.
Yeah. You still got us, guys.
Republican senators, which brings us to a very, very important story. We're gonna start local, but not stay local the whole time. But there's a really, really important and well-written piece in the News and Observer about what's happened in North Carolina in the courts, which will affect everything. It's why I believe we are already in the throes of an autocracy here in North Carolina, with this veneer, this false front of being a purple state, and they have a Democratic governor. So, because one of the projects that has been ongoing in North Carolina for years is to get control of the courts. And they've got control of the courts now, the Republicans. Let's run through this here. In 2019, that wasn't that long ago. Why, in 2019, we were about to have COVID take over. But 2019, at that point, the Democratic's majority on the North Carolina Supreme Court, and we can talk forever about how is it that Supreme Court positions are Democratic or Republican? Are we just more honest at the state level about what this is all about, or would we be better off to have nonpartisan courts at the top?
Should well, we it's still, I mean, it's, I mean, They'd still have to be done with that. They either have to be elected or they have to be appointed by somebody. So there's always going to be some partisanship involved.
I know. But this is worse. All right. So at that point, the Democrats had a 5-2 majority. Starting next year, the Republicans will have, let me amend that. The Democrats had a 6-1 majority in 2019.
Even worse.
Soon it will be a 5-2 Republican majority because the Democratic voters of this state and the Republican couldn't find themselves able to vote for someone named Sam Ervin Jr. He apparently would have been just too damn radical, too Democratic. So he got tossed out along with another person, and that swung it. So here's the point. The point is that it won't be until 2028 that there will be even the remotest opportunity for the North Carolina Supreme Court to not be in such condition with a Republican majority because they stagger the terms, right? They're not all voted on at the same time.
Right.
So it's 2028. And the gerrymandering of this state now, we are in the top three or four of completely distorted. Oh, wait, we're not right now, but we're about to be again. Yeah. See, they didn't allow it, that left-wing Democratic court of the past will be no longer here soon.
And that's why we're 7-7 right now. That's why we have seven Democrats and seven
exactly.
Republicans.
They kept saying to Republicans, no, you can't do that. And so they had an independent group draw up fair districts. And you know what happens when you have fair districts? You get what we have right now. Seven Republicans, seven Democrats in our 14-person House of Representatives delegation. That's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfection because when you look at how many people vote Democratic and Republican across our state in total, in most elections, it's very, very close. It's kind of like 7-7. But the next map, which is already being talked about, they're not hiding it. This is just like Trumpism. We're going to fuck you. We're going to screw you. We're going to break the law. We're going to break the spirit of the law. We're going to break the norms, and we don't care what you think. Try to stop us. You can't. That's Trumpism in a nutshell. And they're going for 11-3. They're going to draw the district so that it will be almost impossible for that not to be the outcome in the next election. So if you swing four more votes automatically to the Republican side nationally out of North Carolina, wow. That's a big deal. But I'm guessing that 11-3 isn't good enough. I would think they want to go for 12-2, don't you?
Well, I mean, and what you're saying takes on a lot more gravity when you understand that the Democrats would be easily in control of the House had they not done the fucked up gerrymandering in Florida and had New York not completely blown their redistricting. It wouldn't even be close.
By the way, right California now. Also.
Throw California in there as well. Those are three big reasons that we're sweating this out, and it looks like the Republicans may actually, by the skin of their teeth, end up having a majority in the House. It wouldn't really be close if those three things we just talked about didn't happen.
Well, remember, there is a monster hiding in the closet that we know about that has already been discussed at the U.S. Supreme Court, which will become an actual ruling in June or whenever they release their, which is all about this independent legislative theory bullshit, which will cement the ability of legislators to do any damn thing they want inside a state and not be subject to review by that state's Supreme Court. In other words, when the Republicans redraw the lines again, if they do it, and I assume they'll wait until they get the okey-doke from the Supreme Court, which looks likely to rule in that way, although I'm praying, I'm hoping that they don't, and we get one of these 7-2 with just Alito and Clarence Thomas being the assholes, like they were earlier today in saying that they would have voted against what the Supreme Court said in total in telling this hack, this beneath contempt hack out in Arizona who's head of the Republican Party out there, this Kelly Ward. Do you remember her? She tried to run, I think, for Senate a few years ago, and she couldn't get to first base. She was so hated. So she gets a gig at the top of the Republican Party in Arizona, a nice place to set up your feet and do things. So apparently she was all over trying to overturn the election in 2020 in favor of Trump out there in Arizona. So she thought that her text messages, her phone call, that all of her communication was protected speech.
No, not so much.
No. And so the appeals courts said no. Everybody said no. Well, I'm going to take that as a Supreme Court. Even the Supreme Court said no. But Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, as always, said, well, if it was just up to us two guys, we would have given her a pass. Well, fortunately, it's not just up to those two guys. So there's another little nugget to chew on. But back to North Carolina, we are in a position now where, for instance, it's very likely, I would think, they're going to go back to their old gerrymandered map and probably improve it even more with better computers and artificial intelligence. And where we live, Britt, will get split up again into two or three districts. And our representative, Kathy Manning, who just won re-election, will very likely get squeezed into oblivion.
She'll get squeezed. So you and I will have different representatives again?
It's more I would guess, sure. Yeah. Because they have to go where the Democrat majorities are and split them up. That's what gerrymandering is, right? Split the Democrats up, and you put part of them here, you put part of them there, and you do the math so that whatever percentage of Democrats you add to a district is never enough to swing an election, so that you keep getting more Republicans elected in district. I mean, we just got done with that here, and it got thrown out, and now it's going to be back in. So that's kind of a big deal. It isn't even local. I mean, it's kind of national, because there are other states that have done this. It can be overcome. It's difficult to be overcome. And Britt, I was on the phone yesterday. I picked up the phone. I did something that everybody should do this every once in a while. Pick up the phone and call someone, an old friend that you haven't talked to for at least 15 years. See what happens. As long as you know. And I called a friend of mine who lives in Portland, Oregon.
Hello.
He was a roommate of mine. He was a good friend of mine in high school. And he just retired after being a lawyer out there on the West Coast all these years. And his name's Gary. And of course, he's a Buckeye fan like I am. I said, Gary, Gary is five steps to the left of us. Okay.
He's great. Okay.
He did environmental law and all. He's a great guy. And I said, Gary, I'm really worried that I'm going to have more trouble cheering for the Buckeyes against Michigan in a couple weeks. Cause Jesus Christ, Ohio, what a fucking sewer. J.D. Vance, are you kidding? And Michigan, there's a reason the slogan Go Blue was for the university. Mm-hmm. And now it really does apply for the whole state. I mean, they are 100% Democratic now. Both parts of the legislature, the governor, who, by the way, got reelected just about at the same level that Ron DeSantis did in Florida, for those of you who count. And Gary, I thought he was going to reach down the phone and smack me. He says, you cannot hear for Michigan under any circumstance. This is a bad scene. He knows that. I understand that. But you have to make the exception here. Okay. So this is kind of like John Voight. Okay. You can like his movies. You're allowed to like his movies. You can, but you can also think he's an asshole. So I think Ohio is an asshole state, but I will still cheer for the Buckeyes in 2 weeks.
It's almost like the people here, we have a really good governor. The governor is the one who's kept us from being a right-wing sewer for a few years now. And people are like, all right, we'll give you that one, but we got to stack everything else with right-wing assholes. Senators, lieutenant governor, anything we can. state house, state legislature. We got to throw all that against you, but you can have that fucking little blue governor that you got there. That's fine. That's what it feels like.
Well, fortunately, they haven't figured out a way to gerrymander an entire state.
Yeah, they're working
on it. Okay, so when governor's voted on, everybody votes on it. But then who are these people? Who are these people that voted, you know, for Roy Cooper? He's the Democratic governor of North Carolina. Now in his second term, he's been elected twice. But at the same time, voted for Ted Budd against Sherry Beasley.
And, I get that.
You know, we've gone down this road before, but it's really, really important. And I can't believe we have to keep saying the same thing, that this gets no national attention. Mm-hmm. That they will not talk about this. All you hear is that the Democrats just cleaned up last week. And you ready for this? How many times have you heard this, Britt? Tell me if you haven't heard this. Every election denier supported by Trump lost. Mm-hmm. Every Secretary of State lost.
I've heard that.
They talk about John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, Catherine Masto in Nevada, and Mark Kelly in Arizona beat that piece of shit Blake Masters. So it was a Democrat. And they never mention the fact that in North Carolina, where the government is becoming an autocracy, and there was a close race that could have been closer, that Sherry Beasley got little or no support, because I don't know why. I still don't know why. There should be, as they like to say, in accountability for this.
And that's my fear, is that there's been so much success because the midterms were a lot better than the Democrats thought they were going to be, that there won't be a full accounting of, well, we kind of fucked up in North Carolina and we kind of fucked up in Ohio. We could have been way better. And I don't feel that there's going to be a proper after action review as to why. I mean, I feel like you got the young people to turn out. Fantastic. Can't say shit about that. You got the voters to turn out. But there were a couple of places where it almost feels like in North Carolina, especially, they were like, that's an acceptable loss. We'll take the hit. Ted Budd's going to be the guy.
That's even worse.
That's what it feels like.
I know. If the rest of the country had any idea of what the definition of empty suit is, they would look up the name Ted Budd, and there would be his picture, and it would be empty suit. This guy has done nothing as a congressman. He is nothing. So unless you really want to get ugly and say that this state's remnants of racism going back decades, going back through the entire 20th century, that sometimes seem to be receding, are popping back up again.
Well, this is the Jesse Helms hangover. I mean, I still think many people who are around today who don't remember or know who Jesse Helms is, I think that still is a fart that still lingers over this state.
Right, but that's an easy explanation, and I understand it as well as you do. I've seen all the campaigns that Helms ran, but this state's population is so much different. It's so much larger,
allegedly,
than it was 30 and 40 years ago. And it really is way more diverse. And don't tell me that these little shit counties out there, the ones that are red, that vote 70-30 or 80-20 for Republicans, have had equivalent population growth. They haven't. Those are the counties that, last time I checked, Britt, I thought they were dying. I thought that the hospitals were closing in rural North Carolina. I thought that agriculture was on its back. I thought the tobacco industry had hurt. It does not explain her loss in this. It's just too simple to
say. But you do have a lot. You have a lot of people that move from some of the large cities, particularly up north, your Chicago's, your New York's, your Boston's, your whatever. And they want to move to very rural areas, and they want to pay less taxes, and they want to be out. And they eventually kind of turn into right wingers. They kind of like, I want the guns, and I don't want. There's a good, and I can't quantify it into a percentage, but that's where some of those people end up. and they end up going with the right-wing crazoids because I just need taxes cut, taxes cut, taxes cut, taxes cut, and I don't like crime, 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 and that's they end up in some of those bumfuck places.
Do they know this is not really a low-tax state? Do they know we have a state income tax?
By the time they figure it out, it's too late. I've begged for years for these people to recognize it. And I again, stop moving here. It's not affordable. We don't have good restaurants. People can't drive. The weather is shit. You're not going to like it here. Please, please stop. Stop moving here. Stop telling your kids to move here. And your don't do it. Yeah. Just don't do it.
All right.
It's not a great place to start a business. It's awful.
From this list. Ready? Here we go. Mike Pence and John Kelly both hid behind the Constitution. Jim Bohannon, is Don really Ron's daddy? They blew up the Deauville. Those are your choices.
Mike Pence.
Okay. There's almost nothing to say about Mike Pence's attempt to somehow regain his relevancy or salvage his reputation by putting out a book and then talking to some reporters. I think talked to David Muir of ABC. I think he's going on CNN. Interesting. He's not going on Fox. Interesting at this point. Wonder why that is. Anyway, the fact that he didn't talk to the January 6th committee. Remember what he was saying? Well, if they invite me, blah, blah, and he played the subpoena. If they subpoena me, blah, blah, blah. All right. So he never spoke when it mattered. He never spoke up when it mattered. And he's like the Doug Flutie of politics. Doug Flutie had one fucking great pass in his life. One great pass for Boston, and it made his career. And he was able to live off it forever. But at least he did play in the NFL for a long time. And he can say, you know, I did all right. In the case of Pence, he had one moment of clarity. One moment. Where
the irony, of course, is that Doug Flutie also received paychecks from Donald John Trump.
Ah, that's true. Oh, it's the seamless ball of Trumpism infecting everything. So,
and I'm sorry to go against your premise, but he really was one of the best quarterbacks of college football in the 80s. But okay, sure, he had one good pass.
Okay. I'm trying to make a point.
And his cereal was quite delicious.
It could have been true. It could have been true. Flutie, Flutie, Flutie. So Pence, who spent 5 years being the worst Trump suck up of them all. Remember, we would always say that. We would rank them. We did. We would rank them. And that one video of the cabinet meeting where they went around the table.
Oh.
And Pence had to win that one by going, it was a godsend Trump. Thank God.
I don't understand how the Lord did not split the earth in two at that moment and just say game over, everybody out of the pool.
Yeah. All right. So on January 6th, he refuses to do what Trump said to him and said, you know, we both took an oath to the Constitution and I'm not going to do it. Well, you'll be a loser. You'll suck if you don't do, you know, all that shit. I don't really care anymore about his version of what we know happened. We know all that happened. We know he didn't give in to Trump at that moment, but that did not give him a free pass to never speak about it until now, when doesn't matter.
When he writes a book. Yeah, when he wrote a book.
No, that's completely unacceptable. And he has about as good a path to getting the nomination to the presidency as our dog, T-Berry. T-Berry's a good dog. He's a good boy. But he will never be the Republican nominee for president. Not going to happen.
T-Berry has a lot better chance of getting booked on Fox right now, too.
Yes, he does. All right, so Pence is saying, oh, look, I told Trump, you know, we took an oath of the Constitution. I'm not allowed to do that, and fuck you, basically. He didn't say that because Mike Pence has never said those two words in his life. We know that, right? He's a good Christian man. John Kelly, who was Trump's second chief of staff, I think it was, and it's really funny when you say it like this, Rince Priebus. It's so funny. It gets funnier every time.
Who the fuck says that? Who does that?
I don't know. I don't know. Somebody did. I don't know. Trump goes to Kelly and says, all right, I want you to sic the IRS on the following people: James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Jeff Bezos, John Brennan, the former director of the CIA, Hillary Clinton, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the lovers.
It's a real list of enemies. It's a real enemies yes. list.
So Trump's enemies list, and John Kelly, again, brushes like, him off.
Even you can't says, even.
No, like, we're not going to do that. We're not going there.
Like even Nixon didn't go, okay, I want you to, you need to go ahead and audit McGovern and all of the Kennedys. And like even Nixon never did that shit. Well,
I know. Well, we know we've always been in a different league here. I'm sorry that Nixon got reduced to AAA ball when it comes to this kind of shit. But it's just about true. All right. So, what is the Trump side's response to this story about all the demands by Trump to go after his enemies by using the IRS? And this is the New York Times and Michael Schmidt, their ace reporter, on this story. So they go to the Trump people, and what is it? It's a complete fiction. Kelly is a psycho.
I see.
These are some
fresh takes. I never even heard of him. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Kelly is.
On and on it goes. And under normal circumstance, this in and of itself would be an impeachable offense for a president, because it was one of the kind of things that Nixon would have been impeached and convicted for had he decided to tough it out. Liz Harrington is the Trump spokesman. It's a total fiction created by a psycho, John Kelly, who never said this before and made it up just because he's become so irrelevant. So that's a version of he's just trying to sell books or he's trying to get ratings. This is a response that lets you know that everything that Michael Schmidt reported about Trump's attempted use of the IRS to go after people who just weren't nice to him is true. You know that.
See, but this is where they get to contrast with that stupid thing they had during the Obama administration about the whatever that thing was in Cincinnati where they had that one group and they insisted that they were trying to go after conservatives with the IRS. Yeah. And then right. like your Uncle Frank, who is a low information voter at Thanksgiving, will bring up, well, Obama went after and it was fake. It was fraudulent.
It was debunked. Yeah, completely debunked. But it doesn't matter. It turns out that was true, right? And this is the psycho John Kelly. And you can say what you want about all the people that passed through alongside Trump or worked for him. Of all the people who you wouldn't say would be quote unquote psycho, it was John Kelly. That guy was a straight shooter, right? He was the military guy.
Yeah, no,
he was the military guy. He was the guy. I believe wasn't
it
his son who got killed in Iraq or Afghanistan? You know, I mean,
that's right.
He's given more to this country than Donald Trump has ever given to a waiter in a tip.
Oh, it's okay. There's no question. I mean, he was the guy that was trying to get Donald Trump not to bomb half of the world. I mean, right. he was that guy for a while.
Right. So there you go with that one. So just file it away, put it in the file.
You mentioned that thing about Pence and going on Fox. You do realize that currently they really are on Fox News and everything that the Murdochs own. They're like, who's Donald who? They're trying very hard to wrap their entire bodies, including their lips, around Ron DeSantis as much as they possibly can. Now, I don't know if they're going to get those clowns after 7 o'clock to go along with that program, because Tucker Carlson, I don't think, can give up on his lover. But they're trying on that channel.
Laura was talking trash about Trump last week.
Okay, so she's on board.
She's starting to separate, yeah.
Well, and Sean, being the obsequious piece of shit, he eventually will turn too, because he'll see. But I Tucker's your wild card. Again, that is your monster within Fox. He's kind of like their own little Trump that they built and empowered. And now that he's going to turn himself against them, they're going to be like, oh, my God, we've got a Tucker problem. Well, yeah, you created Frankenstein's monster, and now he's fucking stabbing you in the neck. That's what's happening, and you can't do shit about it.
Yeah.
That's what's going on right now.
Well, but none of that's going to matter. None of that's going to matter if, I guess we're supposed to believe that on Tuesday night, Trump is going to say he's running again. Michael Cohn says, no, he's not going to say that. He's going to do the same thing. I'm here tonight to have all you come here to let you know that I am ready to announce, I'm ready to announce it. I am so ready. Right.
Wouldn't that be amazing if he did something like Christmas Day? He comes out, tries to ruin Christmas for people by making some sort of stupid announcement.
It's not just that. Apparently for Tuesday evening, and he's doing this at Mar-a-Lago, which I know you were, I certainly was praying that tropical storm that went up the East Coast, it started down in South Florida in Broward and Palm Beach County, that it did not damage Mar-a-Lago. We couldn't have that. Imagine the important documents that might get flooded out if they're still there.
The amazing wedding went off without a hitch, and thanks be to God. Yeah. That's all I can tell you.
Well, the Daily Mail, which is a gossip sheet for all intents and purposes, says it was more like a funeral than a wedding. Don was not in the best mood. I just don't know why. He just...
Well, I feel, to an extent, I feel sorry for one person. I feel sorry for Tiffany. And the rest of them can go fuck themselves. I hope the rest of them had a terrible night. I hope Don Jr. was doing bumps every 3 minutes in the bathroom. The rest of them, it's like...
I don't feel sorry for anybody with the last name Trump.
Wouldn't it be the most concentrated group of assholes in one place? Like, I can't even imagine another one. Like, right there in one area.
Oh, you've never been to a radio convention?
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I was trying to set you up.
Right, right. But Trump is inviting everybody he thinks is his supporter, all the, from the Lindsey Grahams on down. And he's going to be taking notice. He's taking attendance. He wants to know who's on his team and who immediately moves over into the enemies list. So he's put a test in place for this week. And of course, it's kind of laughable at this point, right? That he still thinks he's the kingmaker, that he's still running something, and he's not. And the great thing is going to be, and this is my favorite, remember how many rallies there were where he would pretend to be complaining, although it was legitimate. They never turn the cameras around to show you how many zillions. There's so many people. Those cameras will not do anything, right? They will not show anything, right? And then we did see how many empty seats at so many arenas were there. And so at this gathering tomorrow, if there's lots of empty seats and people don't show up for Donald Trump, that'll be great, because remember, it's all about numbers. It's all about crowd size. This is crowd size. He's not looking to have 20,000 people in Mar-a-Lago. That's not the, it could be 400, 500.
You got to make it look like it's a big crowd.
But yeah. But so if he does that and really says he's running, I guess that changes all the way the money that he's stealing from people who sent money.
There's like, I can't, honestly, there's people who there are people that have kissed his ass for 7 years now. And there, a lot of them are like, please God, please don't do this, Don. Please just go the fuck away. Like, your Lindsey Grahams and your Kevin McCarthy's and your Mitch McConnell's. And they are just begging him, please, please, please don't announce.
Well, we know who's not going. Mitch McConnell's not going to be there. Okay,
but like, there's only who can you think that's like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan, like those people?
Well, Lindsey Graham will be there. That's sure.
Stupid. That's ridiculous.
But he will. You know he will.
He's all but said that this whole fucking plane crash that happened 6 days ago was because of Donald Trump. He knows it. He's aware of it.
Britt, he plays golf with him. Some things are more important than losing. An election. You want to lose your spot in the.
I don't care if he plays hide the salami with him. You got to jump off the train at some point. I mean, you don't have to follow the plane all the way to the ground.
Well, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you get off. And that brings us to the Don and Ron show, which I know that you were going to talk about. And that's, to me, the real joy of the runoff in Georgia is the idea of the two of these people getting to a fist fight over who's going to speak on stage at a rally. For Herschel Walker, that's going to be, to me, the greatest thing of all time.
Well, the story is that the Department of Justice has been asked by the Agriculture Commissioner of Florida, which sounds like a nothing job, but it's actually a big deal job. It's held by a woman named Nikki Fried. Nikki Fried lost the Democratic primary to run against Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
She lost it to Charlie Crist, but she's still in office. And she has sent a note to Merrick Garland. He has been asked to investigate Trump's claim that he sent the FBI to ensure that Ron DeSantis won his race for governor back in 2018.
Thank God.
Trump was bragging about that.
Yes, he was.
He was bragging about it. So since he was bragging about it, I think we need to get to the bottom of it so that we know the truth, right? Because we care so much about the truth. So good for Nikki Fried. Here's the line that Trump put out last week. And this was part of the Ron DeSanctimonious rant.
By the way, that just gets funnier, doesn't it? Every time he says that just gets funnier.
I fixed his campaign, which had completely fallen apart. I was all in for Ron. And he beat Andrew Gillum. Remember that guy? But after the race, when the votes were being stolen by the corrupt election process in Broward County and Ron was going down 10,000 votes a day, along with now Senator Rick Scott, I sent in the FBI and the U.S. attorneys, and the ballot theft immediately ended.
So
let me
recap. The guy who bitches about people stealing elections says he stole an election. Like openly, happily.
No, I'm sorry, Britt. The last line says, I stopped his election from being stolen. He didn't steal the election, Britt. He stopped an election from being stolen. Okay. Nice try. You can't touch this guy. He's that good.
So Nikki Fried's she's calling him out on his bullshit?
Right. She sends a note to Merrick Garland and says, it's imperative that you address these allegations immediately. There was no widespread election fraud in the 2018 election in Florida. There was no broad allegation that the election was being stolen from Ron DeSantis in favor of Andrew Gillum. I know because I was on the ballot myself, Nikki Fried, in 2018. So she's asking that the Trump administration be cleared of or shown to have, quote unquote, tampered with Florida ballots. Britt, is there anything that you can think of that would be more projection by Donald Trump than accusing elections of being stolen and then being the guy who would, if he had the opportunity, and when you're the president of the United States, you can tell people shit to do to steal an election? Is there anything more? Have we ever heard something about Trump and said, you know, that's so fucking crazy, we believe it? Have we ever had to backtrack and say, oh, no, we went too far on. No, it never happens.
Mm.
It never happens.
Mm. Do you want to finish with Deauville or, hey, Jim Bohannon, give us a radio smile?
Let's blow up the Deauville here. That's a hotel that was on Miami Beach for a long time, going back to, built in the 50s or 40s. It was a pretty famous hotel. the Beatles stayed there and they practiced and they videotaped a bunch of songs that ran on the Ed Sullivan Show, not to be confused with their live appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show in New York. But it's a pretty famous hotel. A lot of folks stay there. And I never stayed there. My family never stayed there. We stayed back in that era, the 60s, when we would go down to Miami Beach for a couple vacations.
At the Clevelander?
We would stay at the Doral, which that building is still there.
Right.
It's a big black glass square building. I don't think it's called the Doral anymore. Not to be confused with the Doral Country Club that you know who owns now. And we stayed at a hotel, again, that was torn down in 1980. I'm talking about a long time ago. We stayed at a hotel called the Momart. It wasn't a high rise. It was kind of a nice place. But at the Deauville, when I was there in 1968 with my parents, was Wayne Newton playing. And my parents took me to see Wayne Newton. That was my first live concert. I think I've admitted this shame to you before. So they've now torn it down. The place has been in disrepair, I guess, for 15 or 20 years. And so they finally got around to tearing it.
Was Gleason doing his show from Miami when you guys would go down?
Miami Beach.
Yeah.
Miami Beach.
Did you, and you never, they never said, hey, let's go see one of the Jackie Gleason shows, or they didn't do that?
No.
That would have been cool. Sorry.
No. But, you know, getting seats to TV shows is never an easy thing.
Yeah.
That was a very limited size audience, and they were free. And things of that sort. So goodbye to the Deauville. It's just another. Once I couldn't get a corned beef sandwich at Pumpernick's anymore, it all faded for me.
And we say farewell to Jim Bohannon, the guy who took over the Larry King slot on the Mutual Broadcasting Network for many years.
I did not know he was sick. Jim Bohannon was 78, but he'd done talk radio really for 40, 45 years. And you're right. The first time we heard it, he did substitute for Larry King. He played it straight down the middle, and he got his own show. And he did it, I guess, for 30 or some years. That was a big overnight show, right?
One of those huge overnight show, yeah. And then he would do. Show. He had that little America in the Morning thing that he would do, where he would warm up your morning show on your talk station.
I guess, you know, just one of these very highly thought of decent people, which meant his days in radio had to have been numbered at some point if he was a decent person who played it straight. But what happens when someone like that dies right now or moves on or doesn't hold their position anymore? And we learned this when Limbaugh died, he may be replaced in the case of Jim Bohannon, who was a centrist for all intents and purposes. He will be replaced with right-wing fuck faces, not necessarily individually, but if he was on 500 stations, you know, they go their separate ways and they hire different people, but most of them will be right-wing sewer rats.
And there's a limitless supply of them.
There's a limitless supply of them.
And I'll tell you right now, they're willing to work real cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if Bohannon occupied radio real estate on several hundred stations, that radio real estate now will move into the hands of what station owners consider to be the easy way out, which is to just put another right-wing asshole on who thinks, you know, Trump will be a great president in his second term. And it's just it's kind of a small nugget, but that's a little sad note there. But Jim Bohannon, I don't know how familiar people are with his work, but he was around long enough that certainly the radio geeks know who Jim Bohannon was.
If you ever listen, I mean, and he did have a, he would try to keep it right down the middle. Although I heard him getting a little right wingy during the Obama thing, but that was the hit record. That's where they were playing, you know?
Yeah. But when it's all written, he's not known for that.
No, he's not.
You really saw
this coming like way before when we went to that convention in Atlanta and everybody was like really just playing the Obama hate thing. Just like crazy. And you were like, oh, it's over. This is done. They've given up the ghost on this thing. They'll ride this ship.
Did I say that? I guess I was right. I didn't even know it.
It's like Slim Pickens on that fucking missile. Dr. Strangelove, they're going to just ride this right down to the ground.
Yeah. All right. That's what we've got today. Should we do program notes here?
Yes.
We're going to be off all of next week for Thanksgiving.
So you can be thankful. Well,
actually, we're off all of next week so that I can prepare for the Ohio State-Michigan football game.
Joe Biden has made it so hard in this country. We have to scrounge, and we have to use the entire week to find enough stuff to put together for a meal for our families.